Hello, my name is Jasmine Davila, and you know what my favorite thing is? It's brunch!
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome back to Finding Favorites. I'm Leah Jones, your host, coming to you live from my childhood bedroom in Indiana. Came down this weekend to spend some time with my folks and podcast from the absolute silence of my bedroom, which is a joke because I am pretty sure you can hear the ceiling fan of this room and the room next door. But yeah, I'm in Indiana this weekend. So since it was a holiday weekend and the anniversary of my first record of the podcast, I had Jasmine Davila back on again. I needed someone feeling spontaneous for something kind of lighthearted. And so Jasmine came on and we talk about brunch. We talk about restaurants that aren't open anymore, places we still like to go, celebrity sightings. It's just two friends talking about food for an hour. That's the kind of mood this week had me in. It also got really cold in Chicago, so there wasn't a big festive feeling heading into the weekend. Traditional start of summer, but it was very, very chilly. Radiators were still clanking in the background during this record, if you can believe it, given there were some 80 degree days a couple days earlier. So I hope that you are all having a safe weekend and able to spend some quality time with friends and family as things continue to open up. So stay safe, have fun, and keep enjoying your favorite things.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we find out about people's favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. It is Memorial Day weekend, which is the anniversary of my first recording. And I am recording tonight with my original recorded guest, Jasmine Davila. She's an author, blogger. She produces Misspoken, which is a monthly live lit series in Chicago and the world now with Zoom and Facebook Live. She is my go-to person for Target runs and pop culture news, for purse recommendations, high fashion purse recommendations. Jasmine, how are you doing today on this cold December afternoon?
Yeah, on this beautiful second winter that we're having, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I was just telling you about that This is my podcast PSA. COVID is not over.
Nope.
Not over. However, it's time to start doing your deferred maintenance on your body.
So yes. So
today I went and got my first ever mammogram. And the results are in. I have to go back to a second one because they said, without a baseline one, you're going to have to come back. So
yeah,
I'm not nervous about it.
Yeah.
She well prepared. She prepared me well. So that was my afternoon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you saw our favorite stylist today.
Yes, our favorite stylist. I saw Reverend Billy of Reverend Billy's Chop Shop, which is located in the, we're saying they're in Lincoln Square as opposed
they're
to-
They're in Lincoln Square.
They're North in Lincoln Center? Square. Yeah, Lincoln Square, North Center. They're on Lincoln just south of Montrose next to the rubber stamp store that I keep meaning to go into, even though I have no immediate need for a rubber stamp. But I feel like if I'm ever going to need one, that's the place I'm going to go to.
I think it's good to know where you would buy a rubber stamp if you were going to buy a rubber stamp.
Exactly, right? Instead of just sort of turning to the internet and asking Uncle Google to tell you what is their recommendation or who bought, like, you know, like the search results for, you know, rubber stamp Chicago. I know mm-hmm. that I can go to the rubber stamp man next to Reverend, next to Billy's place, right?
Yes.
So I got my bangs, or like my bang like hairs, trimmed.
Yes.
And that's about it. That's all I did. Cause I, you know, work closed a little, you know, we got to get out a little early today. So that's how I spent my afternoon. And then after that, I promptly went to the Golden Nugget.
Nice.
You know, which is a local diner chain here in Chicago. And I ate a Monte Cristo and a large bowl of chicken soup. Which means that probably in about an hour or so, while it's still light out, I'm probably going to turn in for the night.
Yeah. Is a Monte Cristo is ham and an egg? What's a Monte Cristo?
Ham and turkey and cheese. And I believe the cheese is usually Swiss.
Okay.
And then you take the sandwich, and the bread is usually something thick, like a challah or like a French... Like, you know, sort of like a sturdy egg-based bread, and you usually dip it in batter, and then you deep fry it.
Wow.
You fry it on the griddle. And they don't do this at the Golden Nugget, but they do, the way they prepare it at a lot of other places, including whichever restaurant, like, you know, at the Disney theme parks, they'll batter it, deep fry, and then cover it in powdered sugar, and then serve it, you know, cut it in half on the diagonal and serve it to you with blackberry jam or preserves.
I'm so confused. So it's turkey, ham, cheese, bread. Then it's battered like French toast.
Yeah.
Deep fried like you're at a fairground.
Yeah.
And then they turn it into they finish it like it's a funnel cake with powdered sugar.
Yeah.
And jelly.
Correct. Jam. Yes.
Huh. I guess it's like when you do like grape jelly on a sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, exactly.
So mm-hmm. just like the glow, a little bit of a glow up maybe on a.
Yeah.
Sausage McMuffin.
Well, it's like, you know, how, because it's already a little sweet, because, you know, ham, you know, pork is kind of sweet. Like, really, any sort of pork and any sort of fruit is always, like, going to be delicious. The Monte Cristo with, like, the blackberry jam or grape jelly in some places, like, that's just, it's an unexpected treat on top of an experience that you expect is already going to be delightful and delicious.
Yeah.
Your main and could be your dessert. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So our topic for today.
Yes.
We're just going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Is brunch. You know, restaurants are reopening in Chicago. Patios are reopening. Indoor dining is reopening. For vaccinated, well, I don't even understand the rules. I do know that we're both vaccinated and our friend group are all vaccinated.
Yeah.
So it's opening a lot of brunch opportunities to us, but we found out this week that Over Easy at Damon and Argyle is not going to reopen.
No. And I'm so sorry for your loss, because I think of it as being like... It's true, because it was, I think of it as being your place, because it was like not even a block from your apartment.
Yeah.
You could regularly, like, you know, just wake up, like get out of bed, walk there. And if you woke up early enough, because, like, you know, Over Easy was about the size of a postage stamp and they don't take reservations like all the great places do. And especially if you're going in, like, you know, just by yourself, if you like to go early, or if you're going with one other person, you can like almost like walk in and get seated right away. Or you'd have to do that thing where you stand outside and just wait. But, yeah. You know, which wasn't so unpleasant for you because you were close and you could sort of go as early as you needed to. So, and they were delicious.
It was so good. And what was great about Over Easy, if you were a solo diner, is there were enough of us, they were committed to making their singles feel welcome. And so there was often a rotation at the counter of Like, I felt like the people that ate solo, we sat together, but we were staggered, and there was a duty to other people who came alone to not leave at the exact same time as another single person to keep the staggered, empty chairs at the counter open.
Exactly.
So that those of us who were alone could just be seated immediately.
Yeah, because you don't want to have it so that you have two people leaving at once, and then those, like,
and then a couple
get adorable, totally smug, coupled up mother cluckers would be like, "Ooh, look, we could sit together right up next to each other and, like, share an order of French toast." And be like, "No, those are for the people who eat alone. Who want to go in and get out.
Those are for the regulars who need a little bit of face-to-face while they play Candy Crush."
Exactly.
Before we hit record and we were talking about, like, what the topic should be, why was it that you think brunch is one of your favorite meals and something that's good to talk about this weekend?
I think it's a good thing to talk about this weekend because, well, I mean, you know, Memorial Day is the start of, you know, it's a holiday here in the United States. And so, but, like, just about everybody here gets Monday off. I mean, I know a lot of folks do, like folks who work in retail or, you know, in the medical industry. But if you work like a regular 9-to-5, like, you got Monday off because it's one of, like, a small number of federal holidays, first of all. So it's a 3-day weekend. It's the traditional start of the summer season. You know, present, like, you know, 40-something temperatures, like, aside, it's typically the beginning, because it's the beginning of summer, it's the beginning of warmer months. And as things sort of slowly begin to reopen here across the country, specifically here in Chicago, we're seeing, like, you know, increased capacity in indoor activities such as dining, like going to restaurants. And so we have a lot, you know, we have a lot of, like, you know, like, restaurants, especially in our neighborhood, that serve brunch, that, like, you know, will open early enough that you can go in and get breakfast type foods, so, like, you know, and sort of be, and, you know, enjoy them through the course of the, you know, over the course of the day. And so it's also a very easy activity to engage in, whether or not, like, you know, your social circle is mostly adults, you know, single adults who don't have children, or in some cases, like, you know, where you have adult friends who do have kids and, like, you can't go to a bar anymore because you can't bring your children to bars for some reason, or at the very least, you can't keep them up until, like, 10 o'clock at night to bring them. You know? So what's easier than getting up, you know, on a Saturday or a Sunday and sitting down, you know, to a platter of eggs and some breakfast meats, you know, and maybe a festive cocktail that has maybe a little bit of juice, but a lot of gin or vodka in it. Right. Yeah.
Let's start with, it's a new restaurant.
Yes.
It's a new to you place.
Yeah.
What is your go-to brunch order to see if you ever want to come back?
Okay.
How do you approach a new brunch menu?
Well, the first thing I do is I make it easy on myself I do two things. I am a fan of savory breakfasts and brunches. I don't have much of a sweet tooth.
Yep.
So I know going in that I'm not going to be looking at, like, the stacks of, like, you know, waffles and French toast, basically, like, diabetes on a plate. Like, I'm going to be looking at the savory stuff. And I'm not just saying that because I am diabetic. It's like, I just love salty stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Like, I'm going to make it easy myself. But if I know that it's a new place, and if I, you know, hopefully have convinced someone such as yourself or, like, my friend Carly or anyone else that I usually have breakfast or brunch with, I will, you know, try to, like, involve someone who themselves like a sweeter breakfast. So that we do the thing where we look at the menu and say, oh, I'm going to get this. Oh, I'm going to get that. And I do my best to manipulate them into getting the sweet thing that I would get if I had a sweet tooth.
So that you can have that.
Exactly.
A bite of the sweet.
An extra plate. We can trade bites and say, ooh, or if that doesn't work, even better if it's with someone like Carly, because, like, you know, we do this, and I think I've done it with you too. It's like, if we both end up getting savory things, or like they get a sweet thing, I get my usual savory thing, we'll order like another entree just to split.
Yep.
Or if they do like a short stack of like a specialty pancake like that, then it's very easy. So then, yeah, we can sample the menu.
My friend Shai from the podcast Friday Night Movie Night, or Friday Night Movie Podcast, and the Gold Nerds, it took me a while to figure out his social media handle, but right, his social media handle is Pancake for Table.
Ugh.
Because no matter what you're getting, he's going to order a pancake for the table. And once it locked in, I think about it every time I get a pancake. I'm like, and a pancake for the table.
Yeah. See, and the reason for that to me is like, that resonates with me, obviously, because, you know, you just heard what I just said. And also, I feel like that just speaks to like a person that I don't know, I've never met, but I would totally be like, that is a person I could totally have a meal with, because that like says everything about how they approach meals with people, and I'm down with that. I love it. I am a fan.
Yes. All right, so you're gonna look at savory, you're gonna get a pancake or something sweet for the table.
Yep.
Do you have a type of, like, do you like bacon, do you like a turkey sausage, what's the meat situation that you lox, like what's your breakfast protein?
It's bacon.
Yeah,
all the way, for forever and ever, amen. I, you know, have been a pork eater my entire life. I could not imagine ever giving it up. Yeah, it has to be bacon. And I think for me, especially, like, it took a turn. I don't know that I ever, like, went wild with my brunch choices. Like, when I first started taking brunch seriously, and for me, that was, like, in my 20s when I graduated from college, and, you know, I finally had like access to, you know, a little more time and a little more choice in terms of where I could go to eat that wasn't just like, you know, a dining hall at a large urban university.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, then when you're eating from a cafeteria, like, you know, especially if like you have to eat all this food, you know, to satisfy your meal plan, it's like I would just eat whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that for me, it's like, I just love bacon because I love pork, and also realizing that, like, you know, there are different types of bacon, like in different parts of the world, there are different types of ways to have it.
Yeah.
Different things that it can go into, like, and go into omelets. It could be in a sandwich. It could be like next to your eggs. It can be in your eggs. It can be in your pancakes. It could be in your waffles. It's just so versatile. It's versatile in a way that sausage cannot be.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Because I'm also generally a turkey sausage or chicken sausage. I do my best to avoid pork products.
Correct. Yeah.
I try really hard. And yeah, usually when I get, because if I get a sweet breakfast, I know if I don't have protein, then I'm setting myself up for failure for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Because like pancakes without either a couple eggs on the side or some sausage on the side, like if I don't have some protein, I'm just going to crash in 2 hours. And like, what was the point of having breakfast?
Exactly. It's a wasted opportunity if you don't have some kind of protein.
Yeah. But one of the things I loved at Over Easy is that they had a salmon omelet that was really nice. It was like salmon and dill.
Mm. Perfect.
It was so good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that nicer Scandinavian vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I like that. That was always a good protein option. I'm gonna miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna miss it. And what about breakfast drinks? Because you're not a super coffee person.
I'm not. I can't ever think of a time that I drank coffee, like, growing up, either as, like, a kid or, like, you know, in high school or, like, even as a young adult. And I'm not sure. I think because my parents weren't really coffee drinkers. Like, we always had instant, you know, like, full, which is fine. But I think that for me, Because I don't really have a sweet tooth, but I love sweet drinks. Like, you've seen how much regular Coca-Cola I will consume.
Yes.
When it comes to breakfast beverages, it does translate to a love of juices. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I couldn't have both, but I think by the time I got around to having coffee and sort of understanding that there are, like, you know, that there's coffee that isn't instant, or coffee that doesn't taste like, that isn't completely burnt and comes out of a gigantic carafe that, like, someone in your office makes or someone in a cafe.
Yeah.
That I never developed a palate for it, the taste for it. And I wonder if that was because I used to smoke. And I quit, I think, long before we met, but I smoked for a very long time.
Yeah.
And though it seems like, you know, coffee and cigarettes are as natural a pair as, like, bacon and eggs, for example. Mm-hmm. No, I was always a cigarette and Diet Coke person. Like, I have consumed, like, I mean, I went through a long time of, like, you know, always having Diet Coke for breakfast.
Yeah, I definitely had a phase in college, my junior year. So I started drinking coffee in high school because we got, like, a very cool coffee shop called Coffee Grounds in Terre Haute.
Yeah.
And I was a barista there for one summer, but I would drink things like the Funky Monkey Mocha.
Sure. Right?
The Funky Monkey Ice Mocha. So, like, it essentially tasted like Chunky Monkey ice cream, but as an espresso drink.
That's genius.
It was so good. And I don't know when I started drinking drip coffee.
Mm.
Certainly by the time I got to Colorado. So at some point in college, I started drinking it. But, like, my junior year, I would get a lemon poppy seed muffin and a Mountain Dew for breakfast almost every day.
Wow.
Which is disgusting.
Oh my God, it's disgusting.
An Otis Spunkmeyer lemon poppy seed muffin. So not even, like, a good muffin.
Right.
But that, like, wet. It's always a little wet, those muffins.
Yeah. Presumably because of the lemon, maybe.
Right?
Because of the moisture, because it's fruit.
And then, like, not even a fountain Mountain Dew, but a bottle of Mountain Dew.
Wow.
From the coffee shop in my residence hall, my junior year.
Which is practical, because if you don't finish your Mountain Dew, you could just screw the cap on,
yeah,
the bag, and then when it gets flat and room temperature later, you can have it when you're desperate for another boost, right?
Right.
That sounds so foul, and
so
yet
disgusting.
I want to try it so badly.
So disgusting. Never a blueberry muffin. I generally find blueberries cooked into food, other than maybe a cobbler. Blueberries have no business. And, like, a muffin or a pancake, like, I'm not interested. Or a scone.
Because
you get blueberry burps, and they're very specific and gross. It's true. It's shocking that I'm single with these very popular takes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that it's because of the blueberries, because that's something that, honestly, if that's something that, like, they put on Tinder, which I think I've finally decided to give up after being on it for, what, 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
That if there was a category, or if there was, like, or if these weird dudes that I'm always getting would be like, I just do not care for blueberries and food, or I do, like, but they have to be fresh. They can't be, like, those weird sort of mealy, not great blueberries for which, like, you know, getting folded into packaged foods is, like, seems to be their destiny. Like, I think that I would enjoy that specificity.
Yeah. Let's do a little time traveling.
Hmm.
Of brunches. Places where you have been a regular, brunches you have loved in the past, and the restaurants are closed, or you've moved away from them, so they're just, like, not available to you.
Okay. Yes. My absolute number one, I still mourn this place, was a small grocery and restaurant called the Riverside Deli. They were open. I don't remember exactly when they closed.
Chicago, New York.
Chicago. This is in Chicago.
Okay.
A place called the Riverside Deli. It was on Cortland, just west of Ashland. So in Bucktown. I used to live about two blocks away, so this would have been from 1999 to 2001. They were a small family-owned business. I think it was a mother, daughter, aunt. They had been in the neighborhood, or they lived close by, like in Humboldt or Wicker Park or Logan Square. And so the grocery was like, you know, you walk. And so, well, let me talk about what this place looked like. It looked like, you know, like a lot of really great, like, storefront sort of small businesses in the neighborhood. And also, like, also in a lot of other neighborhoods in Chicago. It's basically a house with sort of a double storefront. You walk in, mismatched chairs, long, like, small tables sort of, like, all pushed together, make larger tables, like, all covered in, like, colorful oilcloth. So the first main room is like where you eat, where you would pay your bill. And there were deli cases full of like salads and like meats and like meatballs and, meatloaf. And they made this coffee cake that they would sell in these huge hunks for like a dollar that were incredible, right? Everything was homemade. Everything was fresh. And they did like, you know, like breakfast, like brunch, but also sometimes like early dinners, I think usually just during the week, but they were famous for their all you can eat brunch. Which I think when I last, I think when they finally closed, they've been closed, I think, for at least 10 years now.
Yeah. They're
still ringing in at well under $20 for an all-you-can-eat brunch. The deal with the all-you-can-eat brunch is like you go in, you sit down, you tell them you're there for the all-you-can-eat brunch, and they ask if you want beverages like coffee, juice, water, whatever. You say, sure. And then they just tell you, all right, well, go for it. And so going for it means getting up from your table, walking out of one of the two main dining rooms, or if you were lucky in warm weather, sitting like on the back porch.
Yeah.
And walking into this one room, just one room, which was sort of like lit, like sort of not dimly lit, but they're like, I think all like the cute, like homey looking lamps had like pink or like amber light bulbs in them. And so like three sides of this room would be covered with like long picnic tables. And there was a round table in the middle with a tower. On every single table were like chafing dishes of hot eggs, potatoes, waffles, crepes, tacos, pancakes, breakfast meats like bacon, sausage, ham, meatballs, because they'd be open until like 3 p.m. Different types of rice like Spanish rice, regular like fried like vegetable fried rice, white rice, roasted vegetables, different salads, pasta salads. What am I thinking? Oh, yeah. Chicken wings, like little mini sliders. I think they sometimes, I want to say they did pigs in a blanket or they just had like regular breakfast sausage, biscuits, scones, mini bagels, a toaster to toast the mini bagels, cream cheese. God, what am I thinking? Oh, fruit, of course. All right.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, gee, like, where's the pastry? Where are the croissants? Like, you know, why aren't there any cookies?
It'll be are the pastries and the croissants?
Yeah.
Where are the cookies?
Then I need to draw your attention as if you could miss it. Again, the round table in the middle of the room that had a tower. So that's where there'd be brownies, cookies, cupcakes, Twinkies. Basically it was like, and that was like sort of like the, maybe the only package stuff. Cause they were very much like the Hostess brown, like those Hostess brownies with like the frosting and like the colored sprinkles on top.
Yeah.
Those donuts, rather donuts, Oreos, like regular Oreos. So sometimes I think they would get the chocolate covered Oreos as well. And that was just like on a little pyramid. And yeah, you would just grab one of like, you know, they're those really nice sort of heavy plates are like a little mismatched and you would just go to town. And it really was just like all you can eat. It's not like you had a limit on the amount of time you had to be there or the amount of people you can come in and sit in a park. Because I remember going there for several birthdays where there'd be like 16 people. They'd be like, all right, it'll be like a half hour.
Yeah.
Which is fine because like, you know, you're waiting for people to show up anyway. And if like maybe half of you are there, they're like, all right, cool, you're good. Like, let's, your table's like pretty much ready. So you got to just come in and like, you know, just whatever. I think when I first started going there in like 99 or 2000, it was maybe like $12.
Yeah.
And then I think by the time they closed, by the time I stopped going there, like maybe 5 or 6 years later, it was maybe 17 for all you can eat.
Yeah.
Incredible. It was so good.
It's reminding me of I only went once or twice, and maybe I don't think it was the same place. But when I lived in Ukrainian Village, going to an all-you-could-eat breakfast buffet, but I feel like the buffet tables were upstairs, like up some pretty steep stairs. I remember it being maybe one of the first times I'd ever been somewhere with like bottomless mimosas.
Oh God, yeah.
Which seems like such a good idea when your roommate is a cocktail waitress.
Right.
Seemed real smart. But I remember, I just have like patches, like I there's no way I could remember even where that restaurant was, but I lived in Ukrainian Village and it was a breakfast buffet. It was very festive.
Yeah.
But I feel like the food was upstairs, but it had like a very homey feel to it.
That's just so Chicago.
Yeah.
I love that. And I'm sure that it is probably a Sweet Green or a Starbucks or a Bank of America now.
And my other favorite Wicker Park breakfast haunt was on Division, Leo's Lunchroom.
Which I think I've heard of. I've never been there.
It was near Division and Paulina, and they were open until they ran out of potatoes.
That's such a good rule.
Such a good rule.
Yeah.
Their counter had stools, but the stools were like chair height. So they weren't like, it wasn't a tall bar, it was a short bar.
Mm-hmm.
But then like the kitchen and the grill was kind of sunk behind it. So the people behind the bar, like for them it was bar height. And for us it was table height.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when like the Chicago Reader was four heavy sections. And you get a copy of the Chicago Reader and go in to Leo's Lunchroom. I don't remember anything other than like the coffee and the potatoes. And that one time I had a meet cute and I met an architect there that I wound up going on a date with.
Oh, Leah.
Rob DeRose.
Ugh.
But he used all the creamer. Because it was like, you had like little silver pots of cream.
Oh, I love those. Those are my favorite.
Shared them on the diner counter. Like you didn't get your own. And he used all of the cream. And we started talking. Or maybe I use all of the cream. And like we had cell phones, but we didn't have smartphones. Like we made plans and like went on a date like people do.
That sounds so cute.
It was nice. We went to the Korean restaurant on Lincoln that's really close to the Chop Shop.
Yeah.
That is next door to the Conservatory.
Chosun Oak.
Yes.
Yes.
It was out. It was the first time I'd ever had Korean food, and it was so good.
Mm.
So that's Leo's Lunchroom in my head. Is like endless potatoes, Rob DeRose, and then Korean food.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah. What's another, are there other restaurants, closed restaurants you have fond memories of?
Not closed. They're still open, but I don't live anywhere near it, so I haven't been there. I mean, I could go, but I don't have a car, so either taking like Lyft would be very expensive, or I'd have to convince somebody to drive me there, or I'd spend like 2 hours on transit, which would be worth it. It's BJ's Market.
Okay.
You live on the south side. You may already be familiar with their. I'm speaking specifically of their location on 87th and Stoney. Though they also have a very small location on 95th. I forgot exactly where, but it's a little further east. So not Beverly. They're soul food. Also, you can get food to eat in or to take away. It's another all-you-can-eat place on Sundays. Also very well-valued. So we're talking fried chicken, collard greens, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, peach cobbler. God, fried catfish, just like all of those wonderful things. Their fried catfish, though, is like, I love anything fried. I love catfish, but they do a mustard catfish. And I don't know if the mustard, I'm assuming it's in the seasoning, but but there could also be a marinade situation that also involves the mustard. It's just so, like, I hate it when people say, oh, it's got a little bit of kick to it, but it's so completely accurate. I can't think of any another way to describe this catfish. And then there's sort of like a sort of a spicy peach barbecue sauce that they make that you put on it. Or sometimes in my case, I'll just squirt right out of the bottle straight into my mouth because it is also very good. And so I used to go there, not when I was in college and I used to live in Hyde Park, but a few years later when I used to spend a lot of time with my great friend, Kathy Stell, because she lived south and she knew about it. And so she and I and another friend of ours, Adrian, would drive there on Sundays. And we would just like, you know, get our food and shove ourselves into a booth and just spend the week, you know, spend the time like gossiping, you know, as one does, you know, which is like the great sort of side activity to brunch.
Yeah.
Be part of the reason why I love it so much. Yeah, so we would just sit there and eat this incredible food. I would eat so much mustard catfish that I would maybe sometimes scare the ladies behind the cashier, the cash register, and be like, are you okay? And I'd be like, I just really love the catfish. And they're like, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, so they're not closed. If they ever close, I would be surprised and devastated. Delicious. A great place to go if you're like, you know, if you're south and like east, so if you're like in Grand Crossing or mm-hmm. South Shore or Hyde Park or Woodlawn or any of those places. So my mouth is watering thinking about the
thinking catfish. About going
thinking about the catfish because I miss the food. I miss like just like the vibe, because like, you know, it was like an all you can eat buffet, but I don't remember seeing like a ton of people going in. I think because people were happy, folks who would stop by sort of like, you know, post church, like mm-hmm. I'd see a lot of folks like coming in and getting to-go containers, but just like filling the to-go containers. Cause I think it's like, you want to go get your food and then like, just take it home, take your pants off.
Right.
Turn on like football or turn on golf or something, or turn on something on TV and just sit there and eat your little mountain of catfish off of your stomach with like a big glass of tea or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Sounds like a good plan.
It is really good.
So during COVID, in this city, we turned to food delivery options.
Yes, we did.
For lunch and dinner. But I found breakfast is a harder one to get delivered. In fact, today is like the first day I actually got breakfast delivered in this whole time. I'm curious what you did for brunch this last year. Like, what were your go-tos? Did you ever find one that was like worthy of that survived a delivery?
I didn't. I think that I was aware of places. Well, the thing is, for me, like COVID, the beginning of the stay-at-home order, the beginning of the COVID outbreak in the States coincided with me getting laid off from my job last mm-hmm. year. And though, you know, I had, you know, money, I had severance and I had unemployment, and that was really great. And I did indulge in a bit of like, you know, COVID shopping, which I probably shouldn't have done. I think I was just panicking. I was also aware that, like, you know, I had to be economical. Because I wasn't sure how long I was going to be out of a job. And I sort of got the sense from like the few phone screens that I did, like, you know, as well as just sort of talking to other people who are in a similar position, that, you know, it seemed like, you know, people, companies we were talking to, hiring managers, recruiters were like, well, we don't know what's going on now. We're not yet sure like how long this is going to last and what the
right. impact
of our business is going to be. So we're sort of putting a freeze on hiring. Check back with us in 6 months. And I remember thinking to myself, this is in April. I was like, okay, so I have at the least need to try to make this money last until October, knowing okay. full well that the severance was going to last forever. Like sort of the COVID sort of enhancement to federal unemployment wasn't going to last forever. So I remember thinking, then I better not be stupid with this money, because, like, you know, I'm not like a great saver. So yeah. And so I remember thinking in the back of my mind, and then I can't be like ordering too much food. And so, like, and I wasn't really ordering food, like, you know, like breakfast to go out. I mean, a lot of places didn't even offer it, you know.
Yeah.
It was always lunch and dinner. So by the time, like, you know, I sort of like, you know, like relaxed a little bit and was like, okay, I can maybe definitely get food to go or afford. You know, I ended up like ordering McDonald's breakfast. Like this was my thing on Fridays.
Yeah.
I'd order breakfast McDonald's, but I'd order later on Friday mornings
mm-hmm.
after like my week of work. Cause like my job became looking for a job. And so Friday would be like, all right, I'm going to be taking off early. So I'd make sure to order not just one, but two McDonald's breakfasts, mm-hmm. like right before they closed for breakfast.
Right.
Or they stopped offering their whole breakfast menu, because it'd be like, this is my thing. The thing that I love to do is having breakfast for lunch. So I hate to say it, but McDonald's became my place.
Yeah.
because they delivered through Uber Eats. And like, and I also felt bad because there were some like smaller places, like independent restaurants, they're like Big Jones, for example, they're like, you know, which is here in Andersonville, which I should be able to walk to and pick up. But, you know, I'm also very lazy. And, you know, we're offering delivery, but it'd be through like, you know, Grubhub or like one of those like delivery services, which is great and very convenient for us. But for them, it's like, oh, but then we end up having to pay out like 30% of what we make to them. And I'm like, okay, that's less good. So breakfast for delivery or brunch for delivery for me never became as much of a thing.
Yeah. I will say during COVID, McDonald's released their chicken biscuits sandwiches, their breakfast sandwiches with chicken.
Yes, you told me about that.
Yeah, and they have two. They're both breaded chicken, and one is a spicy chicken biscuit, and one is a regular chicken biscuit.
Yeah.
And they are outstanding.
Yeah.
Because the biscuit sandwich is McDonald's superior breakfast sandwich.
It is.
I will suffer through an Egg McMuffin,
yeah.
But really, their biscuits are my faves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then you also started going to Svea, like, because they opened, they had a patio, right?
Yeah,
they are currently open.
They currently open. They'd never had a patio before. So Svea, if you're listening to this, you're not familiar with it, is a diner, a Swedish diner in Andersonville, the historic Swedish neighborhood, which is not really as Swedish as it used to be, but it's still, the neighborhood still is home to the Swedish American Museum, and that's a great place. So across the street and up like three or four doors is Svea, which is a diner. Until quarantine last year, they were cash only. They'd be open every day from like 6 or 7 to like 2 in the afternoon. They just do breakfast and lunch. That's it. But they would have Swedish things. Like, they have pancakes, but they're just Swedish pancakes. They have this sort of Swedish, like, pork and veal sausage, which is a lot like bologna.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so it's like if bologna were a Viking, this is what the sausage would be. They have traditional sort of Swedish, like, yellow pea soup, which I really like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they were closed, like a lot of restaurants were, but then in June of last year, or like, yeah, starting in June of last year, when some businesses were starting to open, like personal care businesses, like you can get your nails done, I don't know, you can get your hair done, but with like all these restrictions in place, some restaurants were opening if they could offer outdoor seating. And so that's what Svea did. They had like, you know, a lot out in the back, so they put some tables out there, some umbrellas. They got rid of like half of the tables inside, cracked their windows open, and said, okay, we're only open on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
But we'll offer our entire menu. We now accept debit cards.
Nice.
And we're not delivering, but you can pick up from us, you know, whatever. This is how it works. And like when they first announced this, I was like, I'm going. And so I think I made it every single weekend that they were open. Because at first it was just, I think, Thursday, like maybe Fridays through Sundays. And it was Thursdays through Sundays. Then it was Wednesdays through Sundays, which is great. But they were open every week for 3 days from like June to like the end of October, like right until it started getting really gross. And I would go in at least one day every weekend. I think I maybe missed one weekend and I was devastated. And I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I was like, this is so inexpensive. I'm going to tip these folks like anywhere from 50 to 100% because they're charging me like $11 for like a plate of like eggs and bacon and Swedish potatoes, which are so good, and toast. So yeah. So it's like that plus like, you know, a cup of iced tea or like maybe a grapefruit juice. Like, you know, you have like all this food for like less than $15.
That
doesn't give me tax. Yeah, I'm going to give you $22 care of me and like, you know, unemployment. So not to be a like, I'm a thing, but it's like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to give it to these folks because
you know,
they need it and I need it. So I could have like my brunch ritual.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which is awesome. It was great.
Yeah, until they closed temporarily and now permanently. over easy,
yeah,
a block away from my house was my go-to. And I would, they, similar to Svea, they had always taken credit cards, but they had never done online ordering. And so they finally got an online ordering system for takeout, which was great, because before they got that, you would just call like you were calling a radio station on a contest in the 80s trying to get through. Busy signal, busy signal, busy signal. My go-to there was the Emily Dream pancakes, which were blackberry pancakes.
So good.
So good.
So good.
Turkey sausage or chicken sausage, whatever their non-pork sausage was. And I was always interested in their specials, though, because they always had like some really interesting savory specials.
So wonderful. So creative.
Yeah.
So good.
So I'm so sad they're closed. Bang Bang hasn't reopened yet. Bang Bang Pie.
Yeah.
They've got the spot next door. I'm just worried there's just not going to be a single open. I'm just worried none of it's coming back. So when I lived in this neighborhood 15 years ago, or more, the only brunch place was Pauline's at Balmoral in Ravenswood.
Yeah.
Or Golden Nugget.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, it was either Pauline's or one of like half a dozen 24-hour Greek diners.
Yes.
My friend Alverin and I, when we worked at the ice cream parlor, we would finish, we'd close the ice cream parlor, we'd get our notebooks, we'd go to it, we'd walk to a 24-hour diner, and we would order breakfast and write, because we were both trying to be writers.
Yes.
He has now published, he's got a number of like graphic novels and pilots and movies. Like, Alverin is making it happen. I'll link to his stuff in the show notes.
Sure.
The Golden, I'm not going to remember. But the place that was at Montrose and Damon did have a really good, like, they had a, that was the place I was deep into, like, my skillet phase when I would go there and get, like, their, now, as I'm about to say it out loud, I'm realizing poorly named gypsy skillet.
Yeah.
And just that terrible coffee all night. But I love that diner for brunch. I loved it for middle of the night. I would go there all the time. That place was fantastic. It's not great for podcasts for me to just like picture past meals in my head, but that's what I'm doing right now. So let's talk about brunch outside of Chicago.
Yes.
Breakfast outside of Chicago.
Yes.
Because the place I'm thinking of, which is truly, now this is the only restaurant that I actually have dreams about regularly.
Ooh.
Still open, the Durango Diner in Durango, Colorado.
Yeah.
The Durango Diner has a bunch of stuff that's smothered in green chili.
Yeah.
Green chili is a real Southwestern delicacy. Mm-hmm. It's hatch green chilies. It's pork. It's I was very confused when I moved to the Southwest, because I was like, don't you just mean like salsa? I was like, if it's green chili, I'm like, do you mean, I was like, I don't know what, I was like, chili is like beans and beef is red, but green chili is Southwestern, amazing soup or sauce. Sometimes it's a soup, sometimes it's a sauce. So the Durango Diner, the owner was like from New York, opened this diner in Durango, Colorado. And it was a New York diner with like some Southwestern flair. And it was a counter and like three tables, tiny. You'd wait for 45 minutes or longer to get a seat. Again, I often went alone. What I would get there was called the cure. The cure, it was a hangover cure. So their hash browns were the size of a whole diner plate, like a long oval diner plate. They would take a giant Idaho russet potato. They would have them peeled and soaking in a 5-gallon bucket of water. And then they would grate the potato onto the, like, the griddle. And they would have always 5 to 10 hash browns going at a time.
Mm.
So hash browns, each hash brown is one giant potato, if not two potatoes, size of a plate. Super crispy, like, but not a lot, Key. It wasn't mixed with like a bunch of, it was just potatoes on the griddle.
Yeah.
There might have been a little splash of egg or something in there to give it a little bit of binding.
Yeah, right.
So the hash brown was the size of the whole plate. And then so it was hash brown, a meat, hash brown, meat, egg, egg of, you know, like meat of your choice, cheese, egg of your choice. So like scrambled over easy, sunny side up, fried eggs, whatever, cheese. And then smothered in green chili.
Oh, that sounds like a dream, honestly.
It was a dream. And then like two pieces of toast, right? With like grape jelly on the side.
Right, as one has. Yeah. I mean, that's just, oh, that sounds so good.
Or like one grape jelly and one good jelly, like a red jelly, either a strawberry or a red mix.
Yeah.
But you always had to take at least one grape jelly. That was the deal. A good jelly and a grape jelly. On your toast that they buttered for you, you know, not healthy.
No, no.
And they would just like come by and refill your coffee constantly.
Mm.
And I remember going with my, when my parents would come visit, they would go with me. And I remember once my dad being with me at the Durango Diner and the waitress saying to me, she was like, ah, now I understand how you are able to consume so much coffee. Because dad and I were just there like drinking the whole, like, don't even like, just leave the pot here, like, we're gonna drink these tiny thimbles of coffee you've given us so fast. And I love that, man. And I have dreams about going on vacation to the Durango Diner and not being able to, or to Durango and not being able to find the Durango Diner, not being able to like make time in my schedule to get there. It'll become an all-consuming anxiety dream of the simple but impossible task of getting to the Durango Diner.
Yeah.
And I left Durango in 2002.
Yeah.
And I still dream about having a morning where I can't get there for brunch.
No, you're due for a pilgrimage.
I am.
Due for a visit. Not to Durango, Colorado, but to the diner.
To Durango Diner.
The diner. Clearly. And you have to go and you have to take me with you.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
The other place I would go in Durango, and then I will ask, then I will let you speak as my guest.
Yeah.
Is there was also a place in Durango called the Durango Bagel. There had to be a bagel place.
Of course.
You know, I think we know different things now about microwaving plastics maybe than we did in 2001.
Right, yeah.
But they would have a pile. They had bought circle Tupperware that was exactly the size of a bagel.
Mm.
They would spray it with a little nonstick stuff, fill it with egg mixture. They'd have like a big bowl of like all the cracked eggs that they'd whipped together. They'd pour out your egg part, toss it in the microwave. So, and then they'd toast your bagel, put the cheese on it, put this egg that was the exact, like it was real egg that had been microwaved and cooked to fit exactly the size of the bagels they made.
Mm.
So again, everything bagel, egg, a spicy sausage, and a pepper jack cheese with hot sauce on it. And I would get this like spicy.
Oh my God.
Sausage and egg bagel breakfast on my way to the rape crisis hotline.
I think you need something filling and comforting like that, like not just for anything, but especially to get you through a shift at a rape crisis center for sure.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah. So what are some of your out of like London? Do you have any favorite breakfasts in London?
You know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I don't. I think because the times that I've been, because there have been many times that I've gone alone, I never seem to go long enough to ever really completely get over my jet lag before I have to go. I never get up early enough to go to breakfast, right? And the few times I have, I felt like Actually, I was just thinking about this, that this might have been, this one visit might have been, like, I think when I went in 2017, or was it, or maybe it was before, that might have been the site of my least favorite brunch. And it was this place that's no longer open. I'm not going to say what it is, say where it is. I mean, the breakfast was fine, right? I think it was just like, you know, I had some eggs and tomatoes on like some multigrain toast. The neighborhood was very upscale. The coffee shop itself was like, you know, very beautiful, but it was almost sort of place where I walked in and I knew that I just did not fit in. Because everybody there inside, from the people who work there to the people who were sitting at like the big communal table, were very thin, very white. They looked very rich. And I was very clearly like a fat American rude tourist who was just a little too loud and a little too enthusiastic about sitting outside and having eggs and like, you know, drinking juice. And they were just like, why are you so excited? And I'm like, I don't think I'm especially excited, but I am hungry. And I remember thinking, like, I don't expect people to be falling at my feet every time I walk into a place, but I think it was like they couldn't even conjure like enough energy to be properly rude to me. I think it just sort of put me off like going there ever again. But fortunately, it didn't put me off breakfast entirely. I think whenever I thought about places to like when doing researching, you know, my trips there, I'd always be looking. I was never like never really into finding places for dinner, because like I had this whole thing about like if I'm going there alone, I don't want to be out at night by myself, which is stupid. Be like, where is my lunch place? Where am I going to be eating lunch? So that's what always like really got me going. Or even better, where am I going to have tea? Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have afternoon tea every day, but I'd have to have one that if it wasn't like very expensive or very posh, it had to be very memorable or just cool. So I became a fan of, in London anyway, going to the V&A, the Victoria and Albert Museum, which is really eclectic. And they have like these cool exhibits that are sort of like pop culture, sort of fashion focus. Their cafeteria is incredible, right? Because the building, like, you know, is old to America. It's not so old to the English, but they have these beautiful dining rooms that are very like Baroque looking and beautifully decorated. And they just have so many more options, like in terms of like you can have afternoon tea or you can have sandwiches or you can have pizza or you can have these incredible salads. And it was just really great to go there. And also the trays were beautiful, too, which I really liked. So London, maybe not so much a place that I think of when it comes to breakfast, though I intend to rectify that. When I'm in New York, you know, which, as you know, I grew up mostly, my immediate family still live there. Like, I remember, you know, in high school or like, you know, or middle school, when I'd started taking the subway from Queens to Manhattan to go to school, that, you know, I'd either go to Dunkin' Donuts and get a donut, or, you know, you'd go to like a bodega, or my favorite, like the bodegas that are not just like above ground, but the ones that are like in a subway station or in, like, the underground pedway, like attached to like a larger subway station. And you get just like a greasy bacon, egg and cheese on a Kaiser roll. There are no Kaiser rules here in Chicago.
There's not, yeah.
I miss them, but they're not a Chicago thing. But they're so perfect for bacon, egg, cheese sandwiches that you have to take somewhere with you. Like bagels, I think, are just like they're a little too heavy.
Yeah.
And Kaiser rules have the size, but they don't have the heft. And they wrap up really well in aluminum. But in New York, and my brother is just like, my brother Patrick always makes fun of me. Like when I go to New York, and like, especially if I stay somewhere in Manhattan, like the city, to those of us who grew up outside of Manhattan, that I like celebrity places, like sort of like expensive bougie places. Like I will happily spend a lot of money, breakfast or brunch, if like it's a beautiful place, or if there's any chance I'm going to see somebody famous, sure.
Right.
And I know I'm supposed to be too cool for this, but I'm totally not.
No.
Why should that be a thing? Whatever. I'm not going to like go up to anybody, but I want to be like, yes, I went to St. Mark's Place today, but, and did I see Luke Perry? I did.
Nice.
It was incredible. Which happened to me once in college. It was great. So my favorite place for seeing celebrities. I mean, I'm sure like the new places change all the time. Like, you know, the new popular celebrity places that changes all the time. I like this place called Saint Ambroise, which is sort of like a French Italian posh restaurant. They serve breakfast. They, you know, they're open all day. They serve dinner as well. They have a few different locations in the West Village, Soho, and the Upper East Side, you know, where basically all the money is.
Right.
The first time I went to one, it was like maybe 10 years ago. And I looked at, I think I read about it in like Vogue or something, and I was like, yes, I gotta go. Only I can't admit to anybody that I read about it in Vogue. Because I have to somehow magically be convince people
be
that I'm
cool enough that you found
I just
it.
Already knew about it, right? Just such a fucking lie. Anyway, my friend Maria met me there because it was like she was off or whatever. And she was like, where are you taking me? It was like, why can't we go for dim sum in Chinatown? I'm like, no, we have to go. And I didn't want to be like, I want to see a celebrity. I was like, I just want to have a nice breakfast. She's like, okay, whatever, you're full of crap, but I'll meet you there. We go, it's a beautiful day. We sit outside. This like snooty French waiter is like, yes, I will charge you like $13 for two eggs and you will like it. And I was like, yes, I will like it. Uh-huh. And it was fine. We were having a great day. Maria's like, oh, this is really nice and chill. Why is it so expensive? I'm like, because I'm going to make you pay for it because you make a lot more money than me. She's like, all right, fine. And then we sit down, we're sitting outside, and who do I see? And I'd seen this guy sort of walking around before because it was like an older skinny guy kind of wearing these big white sneakers. I was like, that's so uncool that that is cool. Didn't notice who it was until he sat behind me. It was Lou Reed.
Wow.
I know. Lou Reed sits at the table behind me. Mm-hmm. And then proceeds to like meet, and like another older gentleman comes up and like meets him, and they have like a business meeting. He's on the phone. It's great. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Lou Reed. And then at some point, some very young, skinny, androgynous looking person walking, also dressed similarly, big white sneakers, walking two small dogs, walks up to Lou, and I hear them talking. This is like his assistant / dog walker. And I was like, this is the ultimate New York celebrity encounter. And yeah. I haven't even met this guy. This is so much better than seeing Luke Perry on the street. I was like, yes, like these $40 that I made Maria like, you know, pay for my brunch has totally already like it's already been worth it. I love it. So yes. If you want to see celebrities and you're going to list, if you're into that sort of thing, which I clearly am, that's a great place to go.
Nice. Well, what are your brunch plans for the weekend? How are we going to get through Memorial Day weekend?
So my brunch plans were, well, I'm going to go to Zevia tomorrow. Nice. Oh, that's the thing. So I went to Zevia yesterday. Yeah. So yesterday being Thursday for lunch, and I was talking to, and we were talking about this before you hit record, talking to the waiter there, like he's worked there for a long time. His mom is the head cook there, and how like they have this new menu debuting next week. So after Memorial Day, that they have to make changes to the menu. Because like, you know, they don't like, you know, they still have like their old regulars, like the old timers who come in who just want like the old Swedish stuff and like legit, like get mad at him because he isn't Swedish. They're making some changes. He's like, we're bringing back the pork chops. And I was like, yes. And he's like, but nice. We're adding new things. He's like, because we do get like, you know, people who come in like visitors who are like, is this more of a brunch place? And they always seem like a little, maybe not disappointed, but a little taken aback that it's not a more brunchy place with like sort of fancy things. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, cause I've been seeing them, like these people come in the weekend. Cause like, you know, Andersonville seems to be sort of like a higher profile, like tourist, like sort
yeah.
of friendly neighborhood, right? Especially on the north side. And so you'll see people walking up and down Clark Street. They're like, oh, we're going to go into this market. Everything's super cute. We're going to pose next to the Dollar Horse, whatever. We're going to go to the museum. And they go into Zevia and they're like, oh, we want like French toast and like omelets and like vegan shit. And they're like, oh, we don't really have that because we're just like bacon and eggs and like, you right. know, Swedish sausage. And I'm like, it's awesome. And they're like, we want brunchy type places. So yeah. They're adding a few things. And, you know, I got to be like, well, that's cool. That's a change. If it keeps them in business, then yes. And then he was telling me about this, like, they do Swedish pancakes, which if you've never had one, are sort of floppy. They're more like a crepe. You get them with lingonberries. Mm-hmm. So good. They're going to do, like, a straight up, like, real, like, Swedish, like, they're going to do, like, a crepe. So it's going to be a little bit bigger. That they're going to stuff with, like, lingonberry or blackberry cream cheese.
Oh,
and
wow.
He telling me about this, and I was like, oh, my God, that sounds delicious. He's so like, good. Yeah, I think it's going to be really exciting. And they have like a cup. They used to have these Viking breakfasts, like these really big breakfasts. He's like, we're bringing those back and they're going to be a little bit bigger, but we're also raising the prices a little bit. And I was like, okay, because like, you know, whatever. I'm a single
yeah.
person. I don't have a limited income. I work. And he's like, but we're raising it like $2. And I was like, y'all have been charging me like $12 for like a big plate of breakfast for like, I've lived here 4 years. He's like, we haven't raised our prices in a really long time. And I'm like, it's fucking time.
Yeah,
he's like, it's time. I agree. We're going to get a lot of heat about it. I know. And I was like, but that's what you got to do. And I was like, because like, what's the alternative? He's like, the alternative is we close.
Yeah.
And I was like, then that's unacceptable. So yeah. I was like, so I'll see you again this weekend because now they're like, I just go there twice a weekend now.
Great.
And I tip my usual 30 to 50% because I can. Yep. And I'm going to continue to do that because next week they're bringing back like some Viking things and something about like, you know, a stuffed crepe. And
that sounds amazing.
It's going to be so good. Like brunch is back, baby. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the first person in the door being like, just don't even give me menu. Just start putting things down in front of me. if brunch is a sport, I'm no longer a spectator. I am like a full-on participant, right? Like I am here. Awesome. I'm here to play, and I'm not goofing around. Like, let's do this. So
I love it. Well, Jasmine, do you have any? I know Misspoken was just 2 days ago. I was at a board meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what would you like to promote? What's coming up this summer? Where can people find you online?
You can find me online as at Jasmine D. That's J-A-S-M-I-N-E-D. I don't own that handle on all social media platforms, much to my dismay. So I'll just pimp the ones that I'm most active on, which is Twitter, sort of. I'm trying to get back into that. As well as Instagram. You can also just Google Jasmine Davila. I'm not the only Jasmine Davila out there. I might be the only Asian Jasmine Davila out there. So that's the one you should look for. And so, yeah, Misspoken is, we're back. I haven't yet posted an announcement, but, you know, our next show is going to be, again, on Zoom the last Wednesday of every month. So for the month of June, that will be Wednesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. Central Time on Zoom, like I said.
Great. Outstanding.
Last Wednesday, June 30th. It will most likely be Chicago, I Love You, But You Bring Me Down. And then we'll just make Songs of Summer the theme for the July show and so on and so forth. So
perfect. You can follow Finding Favorites on Twitter and Instagram at Finding Faves Pod on both. Have a good weekend, Jasmine.
Have a good weekend, Leah. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.